Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
Hi, guys. We here at Lesson Love are reaching out to our fans to help us rename the show. Help us think of a creative name, and not only will you get bragging rights for coming up with the new name, you'll also win a $25 Google Play gift card. Tweet your ideas to @MoreLikeBomzy, @MoreLikeKitty, @DarkFox001, or @LustAndLoveRadio. Contest ends January 20th.
This is John Benjamin, and you're listening to the Nerd Hour.
What's going on, guys?
Hello.
Well, this one time at band camp,
you shoved the food up here.
Welcome to the concert.
Welcome to Thunderdome,
bitch.
2 men enter, 1 man leaves.
Well, the other one also leaves, very much more shamed.
And with a gaping anus, semen.
The bigger man carrying the sad man on his shoulders, though, ends up getting shot by crossbows at the orders of Tina Turner.
Spoiler alert.
Big joke, but let's go with that.
It's not much of a spoiler when it happens 20 minutes into the movie. So, welcome to another edition of the Nerd Hour. Oh, Jesus Christ, Cornax. Button up the ass. No, nothing.
No, let's go. Move on.
Move on, yes. Stop farting, Cornax, for fuck's sake.
I just had to get it out of my system, both literally and figuratively. Okay, let's move on.
You really had to?
Yes,
it's always a good sign when the show begins this way.
It's always a great sign when it begins with a fart. Just awesome.
Oh, God.
So, how was your week?
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, let's just get past that. Like a bad childhood memory. Let's just now start ignoring that it happened.
Oh, I'm having fun. Oh.
Relax, buddy. Breathe.
Oh, no, I thought it was funny.
So how was your guys' weeks?
It was all right.
Nothing interesting.
Damn. All right, well, then.
I mean, like, I spent a day at work just 8 hours doing nothing. Like, getting literally paid for nothing.
Nice.
I sat on the registers and played blackjack.
I didn't fight with any customers today.
Today.
That was good, I guess. I mean, I had arguments with customers my birthday. That was fun. I got into a screaming match with a woman on her period and then an old guy who was stubborn. So that was a fun birthday start. Am I right?
I mean, it doesn't sound fun. I mean, why would you say that?
Oh, no, because, you know, apparently making myself work on my birthday is always a good idea. Like, there's no way I shouldn't have just requested it off.
Well, I mean, I requested tomorrow.
Gotta make that money.
Yeah, gotta make that money, especially when in 2 weeks I'll be in Florida.
Yeah, well.
For the wedding of the century.
And tomorrow I shall be at Yankee Stadium for Rangers versus Devils.
Go Rangers. Fuck the Devils.
Dennis is going to kill you.
Listen.
Go that one team versus the other team.
Listen, as long as he's not wearing any backpacks, I'll be fine.
Aha, it's funny because it's that joke from 360 on 420 where they call him a terrorist.
Yes, and considering I'm on that show, I think I can make that joke. That's one of my 6 shows I believe I'm part of now.
Jesus, you are just a radio slut. Because you don't get paid for it, so you're just a slut.
You're the Nicolas Cage of the station.
Ouch. Hurtful. Not sure for who, but hurtful.
could go either way.
Hey, you know what, though? At least none of my shows are like The Wicker Man.
Well, I'll say this. Well, you say that, but at least Nicolas Cage got paid for The Wicker Man.
Not the bees.
Not the bees, but also not the paycheck.
Yeah.
Jerk. All right, do we have any actual prep?
Yeah, we do. I actually posted it in the group chat here. So, did anyone see any new movies?
Go down the list. Ariel's out in an hour. She's got to get up early, so.
Yeah, I know. Did any of you guys see any movies this week? Any new movies or any just something you haven't seen before? You want
to
review?
No, but I'm going to see Catching Fire for the third time tomorrow, so.
Jesus
Christ. Three times?
Yes.
Well, actually, I'm not surprised considering.
Why is that shocking, like, to anybody? That I see movies more than once.
Good point. I also see movies more than once.
Like, I literally saw The Dark Knight Rises like five times, even though it pissed me off. But, like, I know.
It
pissed you off.
Christopher Nolan?
Yeah, it pissed you off, but you saw it five times.
Yeah, because there's like three scenes that. Like, here's the deal. Catwoman is the saving grace of that fucking movie. And that is why I went to see it, because I was like, these scenes are good. This is good. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt. This is awesome. Bane's speeches are pretty sick, too. But then there's, like, other things where I'm like, I can ignore it when I'm watching it. But then I'm like, no, these plot holes are annoying. Like, so, I mean, I can ignore certain things when it's, and it looks pretty.
It does. Nolan's got
like,
a certain.
The cinematography is beautiful.
Nolan's got a certain visual style.
Yeah.
My laptop smells like farts.
Well, don't fart in your laptop, then. Scrambler posting a picture of Nicolas Cage shouting, "Not the bees."
So, I'll see movies more than once, so I don't understand why anybody's, like, shocked by this now. Like, oh, you're seeing Catching Fire for three times? Yeah, I fucking love Catching Fire. I love The Hunger Games. Like, why is that so,
All right, good point.
I saw American Hustle twice.
Yeah, I've still got to see that a second time. I've still got to see The Wolf of Wall Street for the first time.
Wolf of Wall Street
is so good.
You know what I did see Friday, though?
Well, what?
I saw Blue is the Warmest Color on Friday.
Nice segue.
What is
our first
that one
material for the day?
About. I don't remember what that one's about.
It's it's about a girl in France who's just pretty much about to graduate high school who falls in love with a female art student.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a really good movie. The one thing I wasn't prepared for was the amount and scope of the sex scenes in the movie.
Oh.
Go on.
Come on. like 90...
I like how you go and I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, no, tell me more in details.
And like, I didn't know about it until pretty much like the day of when there was a sign on the window at the ticket booth in the IFC Center, a statement, an article.
Wait, what?
They actually, the IFC Center had a statement about the movie.
What? Wow.
Because here's the thing. The sex scenes in the movie, let's put it this way. In the middle part of the movie, I guess showing like that early stage in a relationship where just people are just banging it out pretty often. Let's just say here's the exchange. Girl on girl sex scene, interaction with one family. Girl on girl sex scene, interaction with another family. Girl on girl sex scene, next part. And like...
Oh. It's like what, like just like rapid fire?
It's like they're pretty frequent at one point. And let's just say it's the only thing that makes it not porn is the fact that there's like no actual shots of the downstairs bits for the most part.
No, because
but
that gets it like
yeah. But literally, Charlotte LaPetite in the first scene of that sex scene is pretty much face deep in the crotch of the other girl.
And they show that?
They, you know, obviously the face is obscured, so you don't see that she's not actually doing it, but in position
right.
to. But still, like, there's even depictions of, like, what looks like ass eating. And I almost laughed hard because there is a scene that involves scissoring. And all I could think of was the South Park episode that made fun of 300. I'm just thinking Sesame Xerxes the whole time.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, and though, like, those scenes, like, when I heard about those when I was reading the statement, because before that I had heard that it was a really good movie.
I hear it's a good movie, and it, like, it's Independent Spirit Awards are, like, all over it, right?
And it won the Palme d'Or at
Yeah, I can't. Cons.
Cons. But like, the thing
I have to say it like I'm pretentious. Cons. Yes.
Cons. Cons.
Cons. Yeah.
The thing I was worried about though was the fact that there, you know, what if it was made for as kind of like a shock factor?
Like wait, like the scenes?
Yeah. Like what if that like the reason it was getting notoriety was because of shock factor? Fortunately, that wasn't the case.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
The funny part is though, like I said, the girl who with the blue hair in the movie, like the one of the main characters. Is actually from Inglourious Basterds. She played one of the milk farmer's three daughters.
Not the lead.
No, not the lead.
Okay.
Here is the IFC Center statement on Blue is the Warmest Color. Blue is the Warmest Color, winner of the Palme d'Or at this year's Cannes Film Festival, is one of the most...
That now.
Yeah. It's one of the most profound...
God, none of us better get, like, an award at Cannes, because we'd just be laughing.
We would be. We'd just be giggling and doing the Kirk.
Well, also, none of us are going to get an award at Cannes. Really, let's think about it.
We'd be doing the fish shake. But anyway, it's one of the most profound coming-of-age stories ever put on film. And I will try to make something that gets to Cannes so I can do that. That'll be my sole purpose.
Just Cannes.
Cannes! So,
I'm so grateful for this award.
Yes. Grateful for this award and to win the Palme d'Or at Cannes! But anyway.
Isn't it like all French?
Yeah, but non-French movies get in there too. I mean,
I know because Quentin Tarantino's one. Yeah. Like,
and I think Kevin Smith like sold Clerks at the festival, or that, or Sundance. Might have been Sundance.
I feel like it's probably Sundance.
But anyway,
Sundance has gotten kind of like it doesn't feel like an indie film thing anymore.
Oh, and Scrambler with a picture of a scene from Blue is the Warmest Color, the scissoring scene that I mentioned.
But, like, right? Like, it doesn't feel like it's that, like, the, oh, it's independent. Here's all this, like, other stuff. It just feels like it's Sundance, and here's all these celebs and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're so cool. We go to Sundance. Like, yeah.
So, here's the rest of the, this is interesting. They plastered this right in the ticket window, though. Given the unique and powerful resonance of teenage Adele's story, we at IFC Center are honored to be able to share this film with the New York City audience. This is not a movie for young children, but it is our judgment that it is appropriate for mature, inquiring teenagers who are looking ahead to the emotional challenges and opportunities that adulthood holds. The MPAA has recommended that no American citizen under the age of 18 be allowed to see this film. While many people find the MPAA's recommendations useful, others may look to alternative sources, reviews, recommendations of friends, etc., in making movie choices. The MPAA rating is a voluntary guideline that we as a theater are not obligated to enforce. In this case, we feel it is unnecessarily restrictive, and we will indeed admit high school student-age patrons to screenings of this perceptive and moving film at the IFC Center.
Damn, you go, IFC.
Right? That and that's one of the main reasons I wanted to bring up the fact that I saw this movie and this whole thing was I like that fact. As someone who doesn't believe in the rating systems at all, like, I just think it's unnecessary.
I think some of it's, like, I understand, like, obviously you wouldn't take, like, a 10-year-old to, like...
Oh, yeah, I mean...
To, like, fucking Pulp Fiction, like...
But again, though...
I think there are certain movies where you have to have the rating system.
Yeah, like, you need to know why. Like, because hypothetically... If you want to take
movies like Ted, where if someone doesn't like see the trailer, they just see, oh, it's a grown-up teddy bear.
Yeah,
they're gonna think, oh, it's a lovely comedy with the lighthearted. No.
Hey,
yeah, or like you know, like you need to know why a movie is like PG-13 sometimes because like if you want to take like hypothetically, be like, oh, let's take my 8-year-old son or whatever to see the Avengers or something. Like you want to know why, like what you're gonna have to be like, okay.
Scarlett Johansson show off her tits. What? Oh.
No. Like, because obviously for like the violence stuff, you're like, well, they can handle that.
I know.
Fine.
I'm just like putting a theoretical question somewhere.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like for the most part, a lot of these movies you kind of already know. Like,
oh,
right.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
no, going into The Wolf of Wall Street, you're going to see. They're going to be saying fuck every other word. Like you know,
yeah. Or like you know that if
well,
you're
no, it's less than the. Sometimes it's less of what you're – because a lot of times they won't show the word fuck in trailers. But you're going to see a lot of the cocaine use.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but like here's the thing though. The other thing, like if you're going to see Scarface, it's about a Cuban drug dealer. You're not going to bring your 10-year-olds to it.
Well, you know, unless you're that white trash enough.
Well, yeah, that is a good point. I mean, we do know people who are probably that white trash enough.
Hi, Jason!
My show. But anyway, and for example, like, and there's very much a bias with the MPAA. Like, I feel that the movie, this movie is not yet rated, that documentary, it's so spot on about how the MPAA rates.
Oh, no, I've seen, like, stuff from it, like, and it's true. Like, there's nothing about that that doesn't, that you can't look at and be like, no, that's true. Like,
yeah, like, they were doing a, granted, most of the talk about the hypocrisy in the rating system stems from the fact that certain violent movies aren't rated as harshly as, like, movies with certain sexual scenes. Like,
yeah.
But then again, violent movies get shit, too. They still had to get edited down, too, which is why I kind of, the one thing I didn't like about the, what people were commenting on. But at the same time, it does show that, yeah, people are way too prudish in this country.
You know, sometimes it's not exactly, like, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second. It might not necessarily be about, you know, I don't want to see sex scenes, or it's more of, will my child think this is acceptable? Will they try to emulate this? Because, you know, while some kids won't emulate violence because they're like, okay, that's painful, that's violent, that's whatever, they might try and emulate something sexual. Like, a lot of kids learn about sex younger and younger. That's why you'll have kids doing that. Or what if they meet up with someone, an adult, who, like a pedophile, and then they think, okay, I want to do this. But they don't. They're kids. They shouldn't be doing that. And someone else is going to take advantage. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It, like, the onus falls on the parents on that one.
No, it totally falls on the parents. Like,
yeah.
Talk to your fucking kid.
And that's the thing. Like, movies got to get rated harshly by an outdated system that really is very biased as far as, like, things like that are natural.
Here's the thing, like, yeah, like, the rating system needs to be sort of looked at again, but, like, there are certain things that I totally agree with. Like, yeah, you should rate it harder if you're seeing, like, somebody's head get blown off by a fucking gun versus, like, oh, an off-screen death. Like, yeah. But, like, yeah, you should totally talk to your fucking kid.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is
you shouldn't just be like, here, watch this fucking movie, and I'm never going to talk to you again. Like, and then you're surprised when your kid does something bad or tries to do what the movie was like.
A responsible parent, when their kid...
But most people aren't stupid to be like, oh, yeah, I can be Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street.
No, a responsible parent, once they find out their kid is watching a movie they shouldn't have been watching... A responsible parent
shuts it off.
Either shuts it off or has a conversation with their kid afterwards. An irresponsible parent, the kid watches it and they just complain about the media's effects on their kids without talking to their kids.
Well, here's the thing. My parents, they heard I wanted to watch The Matrix when I was 8. You know, they were like, no, that movie's rated R. We're not going to let you see it. Granted, I went over to my cousin's house. And they weren't allowed to see it, but they were smart enough to find a way around that, as we all were. Well, we didn't go around doing stupid stuff from the movie, because guess what? We didn't want to get caught.
And I pretty much got to watch any movie when I was growing up as a kid. Like, there was only one movie in my life that when I was younger, when I was a kid, that my mom did not let me watch. And that was Pulp Fiction. That was it.
I was prepared for, like, Death to Smoochie or Caligula or...
I don't think she saw any of those, to be honest, especially Caligula. I don't think that's a movie she would have saw when she was, you know, in the going to the movies phase of her life.
You don't know that.
Listen, if you're going to say Caligula, you might as well say, oh, she wouldn't let you see Solo or the 120 Days of Sodom.
Exactly!
Like, listen... And as good of a movie as far as from a filmmaking aspect as I think Solo is, I do get that you probably wouldn't want to risk having your kids go to see a movie like that.
Jesus, Solo is just a fucking... Oh, God.
Well, that's the catch 22. Solo is one of those movies where you feel dirty watching it, but it's so well shot and well put together and well scored, and you're like, I'm watching something unfathomable.
Yeah, that's how I heard my English teacher describe Lolita, and I couldn't get through that book without, you know, dry heaving.
Ah, Lolita. I haven't read that either, but one day.
God, I want to fucking burn the book. It's fucking disgusting.
Why? Like, why burn the book, though?
Because he secretly joined the Westboro Baptist Church?
And that's the thing, like, burn, like...
Book burning!
Burn no, the... not like that! I mean, just like, you know,
I've never understood
gather
that.
Up all copies and burn them all. I'm just like...
I've never understood that, and I've never understood, like, banning books.
Yeah, okay, that's really stupid. I'm obviously just made a joke.
And why?
I'm kind of like, that's an exaggeration. I just didn't like the book because I kind of found it. I couldn't get over that.
It's creepy.
It's really
creepy. Yeah,
and
it's creepy.
It was a big point in time where, you know, when I was reading this book, this is when we were getting a lot of listening to 360 on 420 Sundays and Thursdays from 11 to whenever they decide to end it. Listening to 360 on 420, this was a lot when a lot of T-Roy stuff started coming out. So I was reading this book, and at the same time I was hearing about T-Roy with his little weird thing, and it left a really bad taste in my mouth.
But I don't know, it just...
That's what she said.
Oh
shit. And that's the thing too. You know what? Red Sox brings up the Bible. There's shit in the Bible that's far worse than a lot of the books that people have a fuss over.
Yeah, there is.
Rich in Arizona wants to suck dicks. As you can quite clearly see. Right there.
Hey, but it's not being censored, so good for you, Rich. Good for you.
Yay!
And you notice once every while, like once every couple years, there is a movie that gets controversy. Like, I'm surprised it's not Nymphomaniac yet.
Oh, no, it will be.
Yeah, good point.
Let's be real.
Yeah, let's just be quite honest. If you saw the Red Band trailer, there's a scene of a female character just basically wiping cum out of her mouth.
So, let's be real here. The thing is going to be like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, let's be serious. The trailer itself is fucked up.
Also, it's Lars von Trier, like, we all know.
I've seen Antichrist.
And Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, when he's not busy stealing material from other people.
Oof!
Shots fired. No.
Shots fired. You know, Lars von Trier is either doing movies that generate controversy or saying things that
generating controversy as himself.
Which is fantastic, though. He's a great director. He's a great director and an absolute maniac.
Yeah, he's a crazy person.
He's got a fear of long travel, so he only goes to places he can drive to.
What the fuck?
I don't know if it's a fear of, like, long travel or flying in general.
It's probably, like...
But it's some weird thing
of
his.
Take a pill and just knock yourself out. Sure, you'll dream up another fucked up scenario to make it to a movie.
Yeah, and then he'll have a self-disemboweling fox in a movie again.
Wait, what? Wait, right. What? Huh?
Oh, you've never seen Antichrist, have you?
No. What?
Yeah. A fox that self-disembowels itself in Antichrist. You need to see that movie, Cornax. Mm. That will be your homework assignment. And don't worry, when you watch the movie, you're not really seeing Willem Dafoe's dong. He used extras for the genital parts.
I don't.
Oh, hey, and you get to see like a bunch of engorged ticks on the hands of Willem
Dafoe. Thank you. No.
Wait, what? 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 No. No.
Wait, Ariel, have you seen Antichrist?
No.
Why? Why?
Have you seen
why?
Any of Lars?
Whoa, why?
No, I don't like Lars.
Why are you recommending a film where you can see Willem Dafoe?
No, I said
that's what he's talking about.
Engorge cock.
No, I said engorged ticks.
Oh, ticks!
Jesus
Honestly,
Christ, pervert.
It sounded like dicks because you don't speak up enough.
I said ticks. Engorged ticks on his hand. Does he have engorged ticks on his hand?
Enunciate!
I'm pretty sure the hand part would have kind of, you know... Parnax. What's up, buddy?
No, I have not seen.
You have not seen
any of it, and I will not watch it.
Not a, all right. So it is an intense fear of flying, so that it limits the constraints as far as him and his crew. So that all of the films must be shot in Denmark or Sweden.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, there's that.
Oh well. But I've literally never understood like banning books. Like I understand like. Yeah, let's not have this in our middle school library, but, like, want to read it, let them fucking read it.
Yeah, let's not have towns burning books. This isn't the fucking 1800s.
Isn't it Fahrenheit 451? Whoa, literary reference. Yeah.
Oh, man. This book challenges everything that we try to tell people. Let's burn it.
I know, like, Jesus. No, but that's literally what it is. It's like, oh, free thinking, hell no.
Free thinking, no, that's not allowed. You're not allowed to make your own choices. You've got to make the choices.
No!
You freely made that decision to make that decision. What?
We've got to make the choices that have already been preordained to us. No free thinking. What would happen if people were free?
Free will is an illusion.
What would happen if free will all of a sudden became a big thing?
Oh,
panic,
God.
Chaos, cats
panic,
and
chaos. Oh, cats. No, free will is gone. Hence plots of 4,000 dystopian future novels.
and
most of them fantastic.
And a movie called Demolition Man.
Yeah. God, fucking Demolition Man.
That movie is the best worst movie ever.
I don't know. There's others that are like bad.
Like Wesley Snipes was a good bad guy. Stallone is still a mumbling idiot. But it's hilarious for some of the shit that is going on in this future. But an even better future as far as futuristic movies, RoboCop.
Hell yeah.
The SUX 6000.
Yeah, the sucks.
The sucks, yeah. They're just the gigantic cannons that they try to kill RoboCop with at the end.
Fucking ridiculous. God, the 80s movies were fucking ridiculous and they were fantastic.
They really 80s
were. 80s and early 90s movies. Like, let's be real, Space Jam is the best movie of the 90s.
Daryl!
Courtney. Welcome to the jam.
Welcome to the space jam.
Now come on and slam. And welcome to the jam.
I think I love the fact that there's an article on that movie that says that the game in the end of the movie is the worst officiated game ever.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't care.
Or no, was that on him? I don't know. Some show did it. I don't.
I think Hippo Juice might, or Dutch and Royce might have read the article, but...
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah, we're not going to read the article. I'm just saying.
No, I'm not reading the article, but I'm just saying that article kind of ruined the movie a little bit for me.
That movie, it will never be ruined.
I just want to say, I don't know if you guys figure it out, but I had a lot of sugar before doing the show, and I apologize for how out there I'm being.
Don't apologize.
Okay.
But anyway, so got another whole thing going on here. You guys might remember last week I talked about how they unmasked Dick Grayson as Nightwing.
Uh-huh.
The crime syndicate did in Forever Evil. Well, now there's speculation that they're either going to give him a break from the Nightwing character after the storyline, or they may just kill the character off.
No.
Well,
no.
People are panicking because in April they're canceling Nightwing.
Fuck you guys.
Like, I don't think... I know they were going to kill him off on Infinite Crisis. Like, Dan DiDio was actually thinking of doing it then. And Geoff Johns actually talked him out of it. He was like, hey, Dan, don't be an idiot. Do you realize what'll happen if we kill this guy off? He literally is the Peter Parker of the DC Universe.
Shit.
Well, yeah, but technically, I mean, they kind of killed him, but they kind of didn't.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on with that, but whatever.
If they did actually have the balls to kill Dick Grayson off in a story, that would probably be the biggest comic book death since the death of Superman.
I know, they just fucking killed Damian Wayne, like, not too long ago.
Yeah,
is he back yet?
Not yet, but I'm sure he will be.
That was sad. But then she was fucking sad.
But that's the thing, though. Damian Wayne is too recent. Dick Grayson spans decades.
I know, but I just feel like you're going to kill off another member of the Bat family. Calm down.
I think that's the reason why it's not going to, why they're not going to actually kill him either.
Because it's too, like, it's the same thing. It's like, oh, it's Damian's dead. Like,
yeah.
By the way, that new animated movie, Son of Batman, can't wait.
Oh, they announced a new one?
Yeah, no, it's all done. Like, it's coming out soon. The animated movie, it's Son of Batman, all about Damian.
I do see that here. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shit, Morena Baccarin is voicing Talia al Ghul.
Yeah. Dude, this voice cast. The DC animated movies have, like, the best fucking voice cast.
Yeah, they, like, Nathan Fillion playing Hal Jordan pretty much in every new movie that has Hal Jordan in there.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's going to be fantastic.
Giancarlo Esposito's in it. Gus from Breaking Bad, he's Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And he's got the right kind of voice to play Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, man.
Deathstroke's in it.
I'm still waiting for the fucking them to finally adapt Sinestro Corps War into a film.
Yeah.
Like into one of the animated ones?
I want the Long Halloween and like that whole trilogy done.
Yeah, oh man. Like so many stories they can
do. Halloween, Dark Victory, Haunted Night. Cause that shit was like, that's like one of my favorite Batman stories.
Yeah, I know they were going to do a Teen Titans one.
Teen Titans.
I think they were going to do one for the Judas contract, but then it got shelved.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought they were going to do the Judas contract.
But,
whatever.
You know, that was definitely canceled. I wish they, because that was actually where Dick Grayson got the Nightwing persona. Putting it back around. Yeah. I know they want to do a Flash one. And also,
I mean, it makes sense. Like, I would do a Flash one. Like. Yeah,
Bruce Timm also said he wanted to do the Killing Joke.
God, like that would be awesome, but it's just so dark. Like,
yeah, that you know, that could be adapted better on the animated than on the silver screen. Same with Sinestro Corps War. They could do a Flash movie that way instead of, you know, doing a live action.
Mm-hmm.
So many possibilities, and I think they realize that, but at the same time, I think they want to keep strong sales going, and the ones that sell the most are Batman ones, like Batman and Superman. And
yeah.
But, I mean, they did recently have a pretty much a Flash-based one, but it was packaged as Justice League.
I hope if they ever do a live-action Flash movie, they have to do this. They have to include this. I don't care if it's about Flash Gordon. It's awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say wrong Flash, noob.
Come at me, bro.
So, there is a NES game going for over $5,000 on eBay. Would you guys care to read the article for 1 second?
Where's the article?
Maybe if we have to.
In the Skype chat.
I don't have the, let me find it. I don't know where. There you go. Oh, I just said NES game. I got it. I'll read it. Extremely rare Nintendo game listed on eBay. Anyone got $6,000 lying about? That's the undertitle, and it makes me annoyed. Because I don't like when they do stupid things. Anyway, an extremely rare NES cartridge has been listed on eBay, where it's expected to fetch a huge amount of money. Only 116 copies of Nintendo World Championships were ever manufactured, as competition prizes back in 1990, so were never available on general sale. Despite the fact that the label is torn and Mario has been scribbled on it in ballpoint, the super rare nature of the item means it's still likely to raise a huge amount of interest. This is quite unfortunate, but happened many decades ago, reads the description, which adds that the original owner didn't have a clue what they actually had. The cartridge features shortened versions of Super Mario, Tetris, and Rad Racer. It was on these three classics that competition entrants were tasked with scoring the most points in 6 minutes, with the winner receiving various prizes. All 90 of the semifinalists got a great cartridge like the one on auction, though some golden cartridges were made for a separate Nintendo Power competition. The auction ends tomorrow with a high bid of $5,500, at the time of writing. The last time one of these was publicly sold was in 2011 at a charity auction where it fetched $11,000. That one was in better condition, however.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking happened? Something happened in storage where the label got ripped off. The guy who had this previously just popped the game and was like, oh, this looks different. Popped the game in for 5 seconds and went, oh, it's Mario, and just wrote Mario on the front without knowing what he had at all.
Yeah. Dude, he's got, like, gold. Like,
well, no, the current guy has gold right now.
Yeah. He's just, like, sitting on it.
Well, no.
Well, not anymore. I mean, now he knows, like, could you imagine having something like that? And just realizing, oh, man, I'm making $6,000, like...
Well, kind of. I mean, I do have a bunch of gold in my house.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm just sitting on a bank.
No, I mean, as in, like, literal, you know, nuggets.
Why aren't you mining that shit?
Because, you know, aside from actually one canister of gold, it's not actually mine. Like, one small tube, the rest of it belongs to my father.
Well, just slowly siphon it.
It slowly steal money from my father who fed me and clothed me and put a roof over my head.
Oh, okay, okay. All right. Well, then find one of these fucking NES cartridges lying around.
Yeah, old games generally, they hold pretty good value, especially some of the key ones. Or, again, some of the rare ones that they only made a very limited amount of copies of.
Says Punchy, stepping away from, you know, getting his aspirin and trying to blend in seamlessly.
Actually, I did. And you call me the fourth wall destroyer.
I know. That was the whole point.
So, it's crazy, though. Fucking, that game's not even in that good of shape.
No, and it's still getting fucking $6,000.
Well, because, you know, we read the one that was in good condition could get $11,000.
Yeah, that's kind of like...
Still, $6,000. I'd be like, hell yeah.
That's kind of like if you go to like a comic book price guide site, and you look at like some of the old issues of comics, and even in shitty shape, they're worth some amount of money.
Well, yeah, because yeah.
I mean,
good response. Good response.
Good response.
Yeah, I got distracted by something in the corner.
What'd you get distracted by? ADD Cornax.
Butts.
What?
Exactly.
What?
All right.
So, like, for example, Amazing Fantasy 15. I'm going to just look this up to show what it would be worth in shitty shape. In shitty...
$12 whole dollars.
I wish.
I'm just spitballing.
Going by the...
Price is right. The price is right. $1.
Going by the grading in...
Wait, what was the last bid?
No, I'm not going by an eBay auction for Amazing.
501.
All right, the worst rating that Amazing Fantasy could get, a 0.5. That's poor condition. The value on this thing for that is $1,400.
Okay, Jesus.
That's for the worst rating that it could get. That's whether it's raw value or graded that. The highest, Gem Mint 10, not in a slab, 700,000.
Mm-hmm.
In the grading slab, 1.4 million.
Oh my God.
That's right. That's right. A 9.8, which is generally what the highest grade you can hope for on a comic. Again, though, these are all unheard of. You'd probably be lucky to find the book at, like, a 6.5.
So,
and even that is 25 grand.
I'm not sitting on any of this money. Why don't I buy random shit that makes me millions of dollars?
Right, well, like, this is the one way where we kind of were born in the worst possible time frame. Because, like... We're in a time where, listen, the writing in comics is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. There's some great stuff out there. But
nothing big is happening. Let's be honest.
Well, it's not that. It's just the market is so flooded now.
Well, also that. But it's like, there, you know, there's something like the debut of Spider-Man. Have we gotten a debut of like our new superhero, honestly, in recent years? A completely new, not based off of anything else, completely new superhero that was just special and made just took the world by storm. No.
Well, Rick Grimes.
Really?
Think about it. The number one comic to debut after the year 2000. What is that comic?
Okay.
That would be The Walking Dead, totally, but...
Totally The Walking Dead. So, like, if we don't limit ourselves to the superhero genre... And by the way, there's Kick-Ass that was introduced.
Okay. Yeah, but I would argue that's not going to get you, like, millions of dollars.
Well, no.
Kick-Ass isn't going to evolve into... Kick-Ass is not going to change into, like, Spider-Man. You're not going to see, like, a Kick-Ass roller coaster, and you're not going to have 50 years down the line Kick-Ass number one fetching five...
They'll call it kick butt.
Punchy.
That's the only way that they'll make amusement park rides. They're not going to have Kick-Ass the roller coaster, or Kick-Ass the flamethrower.
It's funny because it's a Spaceballs reference.
All right, I see. It's going to go like this today. Okay, just
what? What? Go like what?
Blatant sarcasm. I got this.
I give up.
No, you don't. Relax.
What?
But,
huh? What?
But, like, and it's weird, though. Like, we are in the weirdest time as far as supply and demand. Let's see. Red Sox, that's the knockout punch. There's really no coming back from that. Oh, boy. But, like, the market's flooded to the point where now even variant covers aren't really... like holding value as much as they used to. Like now it's got to be a specific numbered variant. Whereas like 30 years ago, just an individual, there was no variant covers. It was just individual regular issues. New Mutants 90, for example, the issue that brought the first appearance of Deadpool. If that happened now, if that issue happened, there would be a ton of copies made. And not only
with multiple printings with and variants.
Multiple printings, at least five different covers.
Yep.
Justin Bieber. Justin.
What the fuck happened?
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know.
Justin Bieber happened, apparently.
All of a sudden, just that.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some more DC movie. Oh, we got a...
Tell me more.
Gal Gadot's deal with DC, it was a 3-movie deal. For those wondering, obviously the first one on that is Batman versus Superman.
Pushed back like 2 more years, but whatever.
Yeah, well, the next movie is part of the reason why. Justice League is in her contract.
Fuck that movie. I'm sorry.
And then a standalone Wonder Woman movie.
Good. That's what I want.
Wait, who's playing Wonder Woman?
Some chick from Fast and the Furious. Who everyone is shitting on the choice to play Wonder Woman, but forgetting that when Chris Hemsworth was hired to play Thor, people thought he would...
That girl. We talked about that. Gal Gadot or Gadot or whatever the fuck. I don't know.
Either way.
Wait.
Glad
there's going to be a Wonder Woman movie, but I do not want a fucking Justice League movie anymore.
Well, you know it's going to happen, but the reason
it's happening is because there was an Avengers movie. They're like, oh no, we have to jump on this now, and it's going to be sucky.
Well, you're forgetting, like, there's always trends in any form of entertainment. If one side does it, then the other side will copy. So, I mean, there's only a matter of time before they finally did a Justice League movie.
Because if something works, they're going to beat it into the ground until we all hate it.
So apparently they're going to be filming the Superman-Batman movie concurrently with a Justice League movie.
That kind of sucks.
That's
like for them, they have no break.
Yeah, well, that's part of the reason why they're pushing back production of this movie, pushing back everything.
It would be cool if it wasn't like Justice League; it was Justice League Kingdom Come.
That would be pretty fucking awesome.
They'd be like, "No, we're not giving you Justice League. We're giving you Kingdom Come Justice League." You'd be like, "Oh shit! Now I'm interested."
Everyone would be like, now, but then the casual.
Or the war. Oh, yeah, I forgot the animated Justice League War movie is coming out.
That too. Justice League Doom was fantastic, by the way.
I still haven't watched that, but yeah, I need to.
It's just a great adaptation showing how paranoid Batman really is.
Because it's like it's Tower of Babel.
Yep.
Yeah.
In Marvel movie news, Samuel Jackson recently mentioned that he does have only three more movies left on his deal with Marvel. And one of which is the new Avengers movie, obviously. Now, they're not counting his appearance on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. against that.
I wouldn't. I mean, it was literally like a second. Like,
yeah. But he is saying that he is open to re-signing if Marvel offers him. So your move, Marvel. Your move.
Right.
Now, in a bit of interesting casting notes, we've got brought up into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. One that...
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
One that comic fans are, you know, would be used to.
Mostly familiar with.
Well, not, and again, not casual. Like, you've got
to
be like...
No, you, like, you have to go, like...
Deathlok.
Like, they appeared in, Uncanny X-Force, and I was like, hell yes.
They're basically going to be making him out of the character who was in the pilot episode, Mike.
Yeah,
Peterson.
He's been in another episode too.
Yeah, well, you know,
because he was
out.
Part of Extremis.
Yep.
And then they kind of killed him, but now they're putting him back together, so he's Deathlok.
They kind of killed him, but didn't kill him.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know, he is going to be brought back as Deathlok,
which is super exciting.
Which is going to be awesome because I like, and someone brought this up. There's also going to be a guest appearance by Jamie Alexander as Lady Sif.
Yep. I'm so excited for that crossover episode. Like, I literally, it's awesome.
And there's going to be Bill Paxton in four episodes as S.H.I.E.L.D. agent John Garrett.
Nice.
But how awesome is that going to be? That they're starting to bring in more characters from the comics that they wouldn't have room
for.
Which
we all knew they were going to do.
Yeah, we all knew. It's exciting, and they had cool choices for the first ones, because let's face it, we're not going to ever see a Deathlok movie.
No, like, that's what I like. I like them. They're picking things that, like, we're not going to see these in the movies. Let's just do it. Like, no fucks given.
Yeah. And we find... and
just cool, because it's like an extension of, here's the Marvel Universe, and here's... It's like the same with comics. Like, you get the big four. And the big stuff, but then you have, like, these little stories.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what it's awesome.
Now, Lady Sif, why everyone's wondering why she'll be in episode, apparently she'll be hunting another new comic character that was a longtime comic character that's being brought in for the show. Thor villain Lorelei, played by Elena Satine, who previously played Mera on Smallville.
Oh. Took me a minute to figure out who it was.
So, yeah, we're going to be... getting a lot more awesome characters brought into this. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And there's a reason to be excited. And that's the thing. Marvel is killing it with the live-action media, even though I think DC is more killing it with the comics.
Right.
That's my opinion, but I'm excited.
They both have their strengths in different things.
Yeah. Then again, DC has been doing better with their TV shows.
Yeah, Arrow is really good. I do like Arrow.
And they're bringing,
and Flash is coming, so
they're bringing Dick Grayson into Arrow. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that's gonna be so exciting. They just started building Roy Harper's Red Arrow now, so I could, like, it's awesome.
All right, I'm gonna have to start watching Arrow now that they're putting Dick Grayson in there.
Yeah, well, I like, they haven't actually had him show up yet, like, obviously, but
well, yeah, that's true, but still.
I just enjoy the show itself. Like, it's the fight scenes are sick.
Yeah, I've got to start watching that show. Really,
and like,
do.
When it wants to be, it gets really fucking dark.
Going from comic book related movie and show stories to a movie story. So a recent script leak has caused Quentin Tarantino to shelf his next project, The Hateful Eight.
Why?
Apparently,
script leak. I didn't even know. Like, I just read it.
Apparently, he gave the script to three actors: Michael Madsen, Tim Roth, and Bruce Dern.
Okay.
So apparently, the leak came somehow through one of them. maybe not directly, but let's face it, you can eliminate Michael Madsen.
Yeah, let's be honest. The man's professional.
A, he's a professional. B, like, what's he doing aside from Tarantino movies these days? Answer, nothing. Nothing of importance. So he's not going to piss off that gravy train. Tim Roth? Uh-uh. Tim Roth owes his, again, owes his career to Tarantino.
Yeah.
So what probably happened, what I'm going to guess happened, was Bruce Dern probably showed it to his agent. His agent was like, hey, assholes, look what I got. That's right. My rep's got this script. He's working with Tarantino.
Right.
Script gets out. He probably gives the script to some of his other like lesser known actors so they could read for parts. So one probably gets all excited and posts the script. And that's how you ruin a good idea. Jerks. Fucking agents. Ruining everything.
Wait. There's actually an article about it.
Yep.
And
Tarantino was...
Wait a minute. Reginald Hudlin. Django Unchained producer Reginald Hudlin had the script as well, and he claims he let his agent read the script. Tarantino said, you know, the agent didn't end up with the script, but he said it was a betrayal. So... aside from that, yes, he did give it to the three actors. And he knows that Tim Roth didn't do it. He says, the one I know didn't do this is Tim Roth. One of the others let their agent read it, and that agent has now passed it on to everyone in Hollywood. That's from, you know.
Yeah. Michael Bat-
Oh, Deadline added that Tarantino later revealed to them he believed that that creative artists agency who represents Bruce Dern to be behind the leak, a claim the agency have vehemently denied. And yep, you're probably right, Punch, because even Quentin Tarantino agrees with you.
Yep, like that's it had to have been Bruce Dern's agent.
Yep,
because no one can keep a fucking secret because agents got to boast everything. Because
Because they're not successful enough to actually be actors, but.
You know what it is?
To represent these people.
I compare being a movie agent for an actor the same way you're an agent for an athlete. Look at what the agents for the athletes do. They try to get these huge contracts for their players. It doesn't matter whether the player needs the money or not. And it doesn't matter that, say, there's a contract that has phony years at the end of it that can be voided and thus make the deal end up being a lot less. And it doesn't even matter that the player will never see all of that money. What'll happen is they'll be like, well, say an athlete signs an $80 million contract for 8 years. So he's making $10 million a year, right? Well, it's backloaded, and the last 2 years are voidable. That takes much of the money off. But no one sees that. They see 8 years, $80 million. Just like, oh, hey, look, my guy's got a Tarantino script. That's right. He's going to be in a Tarantino movie.
Right.
That's pretty much how it is. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. The posturing now ruined what would probably be a great project. And Tarantino says, listen, like, he's taking it in a good way, though. He's saying, I've got 10 ideas where that came from. So, apparently, he might do a prison movie instead.
Okay. And then that gets leaked.
Yeah, until that gets leaked, and then he'll do another one. He'll cycle through projects until each script leaks, until one actually doesn't leak, and he still ends up making a fantastic movie out of it. I was kind of hoping for that, because apparently he had a part written specifically for Christoph Waltz.
I wonder what music he's going to use in a prison movie.
I wonder if it would be a period piece, because that's what he's been doing lately.
Like Shawshank?
That would be awesome, like Shawshank meets Reservoir Dogs.
Yep.
No, Shawshank meets Django. I know he wanted to do like another World War II based movie about like a all black platoon.
Hasn't that been done before?
Yeah, but not by Tarantino.
Good point.
Not by
so Tarantino. There will be copious use of the N-word?
He never needs an excuse to do that. Come on now.
Yeah, but let's be honest. There will be.
That will be the excuse.
It will be historically accurate, probably. But it will be there.
Yeah, Scrambler brings this up because I didn't know about the story until while I was filming recording the long cut with Scrambler, which you can find that on Podomatic now. It's a movie podcast Scrambler and I do.
Whore.
He said when I told – and yes, he's right. When he told me about this movie being shelved, I was crushed because I wanted to see that made. So the only other movie that if they cancel it, I would be crushed is the I Heard You Paint Houses movie. That Scorsese's supposed to make with De Niro, Pacino, and Pesci.
Oh.
Just the fucking – the four-pack of Ginzo Pride in one movie. Dude, even if it was a shitty script, people would go – would line up to see that movie. Because let's face it, they're all getting up there in age. It would probably be the only opportunity to see that. Granted, Pacino and De Niro have been in two movies together now, but – no, this, like, them with Pesci, with Scorsese directing, that would be huge. And let's face it, Scorsese's not going to, you know, Scorsese's not going to pick a shitty movie.
I don't think Scorsese's ever made a shitty movie.
No, the worst he's made are movies that are there where someone goes, it's all right. Like, that's the worst he's done. That's the mark of a fantastic career. So anyway, before we go to break, I want to do an eBay updates segment.
Okay.
Because, you know, we've been talking about getting collectibles on eBay lately.
Yeah. I have to talk to the post office because my package to him was marked as undeliverable and I haven't received it back, so it's either stuck in Washington or whatever, and... Well, thankfully, because I have the receipt and because I had insurance, I can get up to $50 back for them. So, you know, whatever.
Oh, man. Wow.
And then who knows? Maybe I can just go straight to PayPal and say, hey, I tried to send it to them, you know, and whatever. I just want my money back. And then I can get double the money.
So. That would be pretty awesome.
I'm not going to do that. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Do it. Fuck it. Why not?
Because I'm not a scumbag.
Well, I mean, the guy did send you shitty made figures.
Dude, there's getting my money back, then there's being wholly dishonest. And then I'm not only technically scamming him, I'm also scamming the post office.
So, I still don't see the issue.
People work there. People make the money.
Yeah, but they're not going to get fired over $50.
Okay. Well, they're probably not, but I...
Do you realize what they charge for shipping Cornax?
Yes, I do, because I paid $6.95 and it wasn't even delivered.
And let's face it.
But...
99.99% of the packages get delivered with no issue.
Okay. Can I just point out one thing? One thing. As much as I just... portray myself as a jackass on the radio, I'm not a scumbag.
You know, it's not so much a scumbag thing to do. I mean, listen, bad economy still 10 years later. But here's the thing. Look at it this way. And this is why Amazon allows themselves to get screwed by people once every while.
Who, voice.
And, well, me too, but still.
Radio whore. Slut. I mean, slut.
You might need a lozenge for that, buddy. But here's the thing. Amazon knows that there's probably a few dishonest people out there. And they don't care because they can't prove it. There's no way to prove it. If someone does it too many times, they'll just blacklist the person. That's all. But they make so much money that it would cost more to put things in place to keep people honest than it would to just take the hit of people screwing them.
All right, so just I don't know. I think I'll just, if anything, just get the money from the post office. If I want, I can go to PayPal and get the money there as well.
And just like the U.S. Post Office, I'm sure they know that there are people who find ways to scam and double their money. I'm sure they know that.
I don't know.
They've got to know that there's someone who does that. They can't prove it, but they've got to know. And also, again, it probably costs way more per year to put in things implementing, preventing that, than there are just taking the hit.
This is the episode where we turn Cornax into a crook.
Yeah, you're going to become a criminal mastermind, and it's going to be thanks to me.
Well, yeah, not you. Let's just say more following Royce's actions and then going off from there all Jordan Belfort style.
Following my actions, which actually followed Royce's actions. So technically. Dude, seriously though, I don't know when it was put out, but there's an old like classic Dutch and Royce episode. It was like a best of. And like there, Cornax, you've got to listen to that because it's mostly them talking about like shit that Royce has done 7 years ago.
Allegedly.
Possibly, maybe. So anyway, falling off track for a second here, we're going to take a break. And then once we come back from said break, we're going to talk about a few more stories, one of which is an IGN article, 5 Reasons You Should Cosplay Before You Die.
Why? Will it get me chicks?
No, Cornax.
Then, why should I?
Well, we're going to go over that once we get back from break, you goose.
Goose?
Yes, goose.
Goose?
Yes.
Goose?
Red Sox.
Does that make you fucking Iceman?
Yeah, technically. So, guys.
Ariel is Maverick.
So, everybody, this is the Nerd Hour. We will be back.
Yay!
After this quick commercial break.
Boom!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Are you a comedian that has trouble?
Everybody's a hack, I know. Everybody's a hack, I get it. Shut up. Swing. I'm a dopey fucking shit comic.
You're an asshole.
Fuck you. Was there really a ramrod in? That's a cock joke. Swing. I'm not an unpleasant person. You know what I'm having for the first time today?
Period.
Shut up. I'm fucking pissy. Insert queer joke here. Call me a faggot and hit me with a stick.
I think he's a comic.
I love you.
Gave me the finger.
Fuck you. Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh. Fucking jerk-offs.
Not bad for a guy that's got nothing.
Shut up. I'm not an unpleasant person. Fuck you. Conti Kenny Show. Fuck you. Dicks.
Wait, why is that guy gargling?
This is your morning wake-up call.
Get up. It's how I get my morning started. They're my morning show.
All right, here's a little inside info. They're not even real listeners. These are staged people, and you hear the same thing across the entire country. And that's why Hammy, the true American, is going to serve his country and expose these hack shows for what they are.
Only on Brain Steel Radio. Friday nights, 8 to 10 on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Many of us grew up reading the works of Jules Verne and books like Treasure Island. great classic fantasy novels. I love reading fantasy, but most of the fantasy novels released today read like a role-playing game. I'm interested in characters and stories when reading fantasy novels, and I found a fantasy novel written with the story and the characters as the focus. The book is titled Daughter of Vengeance, and the author is David Timrick. David Timrick is a self-published author who has written several books, and they are all top-rated on Amazon. Daughter of Vengeance is a story about a young lady who's thrust into a world of espionage, betrayal, and murder. A survivor at heart, she befriends a master assassin who takes her as his apprentice. After years of training and careful planning, she begins her life as one of the king's many spies. Unknown to her, a plot has slowly been unraveling, which will not only destroy the fragile peace of the kingdom, but could descend the world into chaos and war. Can Michelle rise above the shortcomings and failures of her predecessors and set right the wrongs done centuries before? And will her life be the ultimate price she pays for the sins of others? You'll have to read Daughter of Vengeance by David Timrick to find out. So visit his website, davidtimrick.com, to buy your copy today. David Timrick, T-E-M-R-I-C-K, davidtimrick.com. Daughter of Vengeance is available on Kindle and in paperback.
Listen to Unsigned Hype every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, on MoreLikeRadio.com. It's hosted by Sir Darkside, a.k.a. at Darkside Rules on Twitter. Check out the show for dope interviews, exclusive releases from artists such as Brother Ali, Mally, Kelly Mays, Lex Leosis, MOA, and Aesop Rock. It doesn't get better than this. Every Tuesday night on MoreLikeRadio.com is the Unsigned Hype.
Unsigned Hype. Frontline, Aeronauts, Flurry, Zero Dark 30, Zero Friends, Minotaur, Fugly, Stepchild, A Boat Lunch, Jumped Over, Plunging, Net Lines, Up Beside, Tongue Tied, Hungry, Enzyme, Devolved in a Morning Styles, Punisher, Outcast, Good Times.
Fuck your motherfucking clip. Let me get back on my ego shit. Right up on that Debo shit. Yeah, this beat was kinda nice, so now I'm about to steal this shit. Own it, train it, make it mine, and throw it in the deepest pit. Cause after I done blown your minds, can't no one come and see this shit. I'm the hip hop cocky. Best in the world, don't agree. Hashtag heel, shocking like an eel. And when I hop up on the track, I only keep it real. Like, what's the deal with these niggas in the game that be swearing that they dope when they actually lame? Like this dude Chief Keef, this nigga 2 Chainz, and A$AP fucking Rocky even stole his fucking name from A$AP Rock. So motherfucker, stop. You are not near hot. You're in the wrong spot.
Inside you sound jealous.
Nah, motherfucker, I'm only showing my zealous through these malicious words. I thought you niggas heard. I told you that I'm better than and killing off these herbs. I'm an MC and a nerd. I'm flyer than a bird. I'm sick of all this backward shit. It's getting type absurd. And now Lupe wants to call it quits over a stupid bitch and fucking Nicky's click. Cause these intelligence, these fans are ignorant. This is the stupid shit that makes me get belligerent. Ah! And wanna bite some fucking heads off. I call them out on Twitter, but they mask off. So when I meet them, I'm slapping their fucking faces off. It's hashtag goodbye face. Think I ain't serious?
Hold up, man, calm down. Chill side, I got this. It's time to put an end to all things monotonous. Niggas really think they understand this art of rhyming. But while my flows, they're leaving the competition behind me. And I be that 5 foot sensei. Killing these rappers with the flow that's all blames. All day with my nigga Dark Side. And we giving no fuck, so do what DFD says and get your fucking bars up. Ring the alarm, bruh. These niggas want war, bruh. I know said this shit before, but you rap niggas don't want none. I'm Ichigo Kurosaki, riding on a Kawasaki with my Bankai in hand, beheading you rap phonies up. Rapping with a temper, so my nigga do not test me. And I got this shit unlike when the illest allowed entry. I don't think you motherfuckers understand it. I've been spitting hard as granite since Goku first fought on planet Namek. Damn it, and why the fuck he ain't signed yet, a newcomer with the skills of a rap vet. And I ain't even done yet. You think you stopping me and my team? You ain't caught rap. I rap iller than most these whack lyricists who think complicated rhyme schemes means they are killing shit. Damn, and I don't mean to burst your bubble. If you're messing with my team, that means you're asking for trouble. I'm skilled with the lyrics, you will never catch me fumble. It's just me and my affiliates all up in the huddle, plotting our takeover. If your dance is game over, I'm just a venomous rapper with the spit of the King Cobra. I'm killing everything in sight with the power of a mic. Even on my deathbed, you niggas ain't three times as nice. And don't let me get in my zone. I'm just saving prints, break the sit on top of your strong. Time to get grimy in the trenches where you find me. Lyrically spinning with perfect precision, killing these niggas with perfect timing. And if you come at me with that rap evil, I crack open your head and piss in your hollowed out skull. I'm done.
Damn.
And you motherfuckers ain't messing with my click.
Hell nah. Dogside, tell them what we came to do, man.
Attacking all these rap clones.
Yo, yo, and we go, and we go, and we go, and we go. I say we go, we go, we go, we go, we going, 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 going.
Talk Radio Meltdown. He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh, so everyone did,
and they found out. It's like, oh, the song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse, like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric?
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
Hey everybody, this is Alexa. You can hear my Uncle Sean say terrible things on the Hippo Juice Show. Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Followed by the Red Show from 9 to 11. And now Mark Out Radio with Big T and Dark Fox is on Wednesday too. Join them during their new time slot, 11 to 1 a.m., only on morelikeradio.com.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh, boy.
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on morelikeradio.com.
We're back on the Nerd Hour. Welcome.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we are. Shut up.
Oh, we aren't.
We are.
We totes aren't.
Totes are. Shush.
Totesies.
Totes my goats.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, that was a nice little break here. All right. We're back. Before we get into the cosplay article that I mentioned we were going to read, I do want to address a few things. The first thing, we do need a Twitter. I mean, it's, we wouldn't be able to make one of, called at the Nerd Hour.
Because we didn't snatch it up.
We didn't snatch it up before some dickhole show, but that's okay because we have the first podcast with this name. What do you fucks have? That's right. Eat a dick. The second thing I want to point out, and also before I get to the second thing, I do want to point out that we could always make it like MLR Nerd Hour or MLR the Nerd Hour or the Nerd Hour MLR. It doesn't have to just be the Nerd Hour. So eventually there will be a Nerd Hour Twitter, maybe one with which all three of us have the password.
Oh, I'll probably lose it within a week.
Yeah, and let's face it, it'll probably not be used that often. But still, it'd be nice to have a, you know, just a show Twitter name. It'd be cool, I admit. But, you know, it'd be cool to have shirts. I'm just waiting to make designs. I'm trying to get like, a concrete Nerd Hour logo made. Just not sure, like, what kind of look it should have.
It should have your face and Ariel's face inside the eyeballs of that ram skull that I've used before.
You just want the ram skull to take center stage, don't you?
Kinda.
You just want me and Ariel inside you. That pause was too awkward.
Because it just hit me what you were saying, and I just went, what?
But anyway, and we are not changing the name because there's another show called The Nerd Hour because we were the first one to have that name. I can definitely back that claim up. And I'm looking at their file. They started after us. Not only that, but they're not. I don't even think they're active anymore.
They're probably not. And you know what? They're probably sucked. And you know what? They probably have small penises.
They probably do, and they're probably on a state. They probably would have been on a station that boasts having 80%.
And I'll prove it by putting a picture of mine in chat.
Yeah. That Nerd Hour probably would have been best suited to be on a station that boasts having 80% non-live shows, but who's keeping count? Just saying. I mean, whatevsies. I mean, listen, I guess, you know, when you've got to compete with the best station, you've got to, you know, pretend you've got ways to compete, and really it's not a competition because...
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's really difficult to compete with Radio FUBAR. I'm sorry. I mean, what?
God damn it, Cornax. For the one time, I was trying to be discreet. Because I wasn't trying to... The one time, I was trying to make it discreet. Because I like them. I just... You know what?
I had no problem. I didn't even interact with Mr. Producer, okay? But then he starts throwing these douchey subtweets out at Nowhere Like Radio. I don't like that. I mean, I'll stop, but I'm getting my one vengeance shot in for his first shot.
Oh, trust me. And let's put it this way. The people who were annoyed the most... two of the people who are annoyed the most about this, were me and someone else who I do a show with, say
Mammy.
2 days a week. But like, and it's because we've been nothing but nice to that station. You know, I get it. He wants to be bitter because let's face it. I mean, two of his top shows did come to MLR. I'm not gonna lie. If I were a station, that I'd be pissed at that too. I understand. But at the same time, it's not like we openly recruited and stole the shows either.
Yeah, I mean, I did that back when I was a listener, but yeah. Not since I actually joined the station.
They're adults. They made their own choices.
Yeah. Also, Red Sox, that's kind of also what happened with the mix thing, because I started openly attacking Jack after he subtweeted us, and then everyone started going after him. So I'd like to take credit for firing the first shot back and starting the MLR versus Mix thing into a true MLR versus Mix thing.
You're missing just, you know, not much, but like it's not going to end up being a big deal like the Jack thing. I mean, it's not. In the end, it's going to just be nothing.
I was confuzzled. When Mr. Producer sent out something like really catty about us,
It just seems when he's down in the dumps, he'll like take pot shots. But at the same time, like when he's fine, he's fine.
Like, but, you know, I've done that too, but I try to avoid taking like the ones that will really get people to rip my head off.
Hey, you know what, though? I mean, let's face it. We are the best collection of talent on the internet as far as talk radio goes.
Wow, ego much? Yeah. Joking. We're fantastic. I'm also farting again.
Stop farting.
Never!
So, yeah.
Hear my gas! It will go through my computer into your face!
So, anyway, as I was saying, though, like, listen, at this point, I know we all went apeshit over the Jack tweets, and we did, you know, and that was a fantastic MLR versus Mix thing where now Mix is irrelevant, but now I think we're at this.
No, seriously, they are, because I just went to their webpage, and they have shows listed as live shows that technically aren't even on the station anymore.
So, anyway. Listen, this is where MLR is at, all right? We are at that phase where we're definitely the top of the food chain as far as live shows, like as far as overall talent. So guess what? We're going to take shots. There's going to be shots thrown our way. It's bound to happen. We got the best collection of talent. There's no other station that can really touch the collection talent we have. And it's mostly live. Listen, we have non-live shows too, but the backbone is live shows.
I hit mute just as I sneezed.
Good job, Hornex.
Yeah, I really shouldn't have because it sounded like an elephant. And it would have been glorious. And we could have used it as a sound bite. And then we could have made it sound like, you know, an elephant raping someone.
Okay, this is what I love about the when Hammy gets like sarcastic, like to take shots without framing it, like taking shots. Like what Hammy just said in chat, I'm not going to read it because fuck it. Give people who listen on podcast incentive to go into the chat. But Hammy, like, why are you trashing? And then just takes a shot. Like. We're not trashing Hammy, but I did want to just kind of make mention of the fact that no matter what other people try to say, we are the best collection of talent. We offer the most. And the fact that I told Dennis this too, we've got to, at the very least, record a podcast during the wedding in 2 weeks.
The Nerd Hour. We are more like radio's weekly dick sucking.
And 129.
The Nerd Hour. We gape our assholes for more like radio.
Speak for yourself.
The Nerd Hour. Punchy likes to get fisted by large black men.
Slander.
And save it!
What, me saying slander?
No!
Slander. Guess what? I'm the one recording.
You know, a milkshake, a box of Mike and Ike's, and what else did I have? I had some other sugar. I think I did.
Yeah, you had way too much. Maybe no more sugar before our show, Cornax. Just maybe. So, I did want to bring some discussion. We did have a little bit of a list. I don't know. It's not so much a list as it is an article that I kind of like critiquing IGN articles. It's fantastic. Because sometimes they're just so ridiculous and preachy. This one is by Joshua Heal. It's about 5 reasons to cosplay before you die. This should be interesting. For those who don't know, cosplaying is a term. The people who dress up as characters from different comic books or TV shows. That's pretty much what they do. And Red Sox is asking, when does the diabetic coma hit Cornax? About 2 in the morning. So,
probably because, you know what, I'm going to have to die, then wake up at 10 in the morning, get dressed in 7 fucking layers, then go to Yankee Stadium, and then the game starts at 12:30, and then I am watching hockey for the rest of the day. And then I come home, and then I have something to eat, and then I go to sleep, and then I wake up tomorrow, And I fuck around for about, I don't know how many hours, depending on when I wake up. And then I go to work at 5.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, I have work at noon tomorrow, but I got radio shows. But, and here's the thing. Cosplaying is fantastic in some ways. Like,
have you done it?
No, I've just seen people doing it.
Okay, you are not the person who should be presenting this list.
I don't have the dedication to do cosplaying.
Lazy.
No, it's just called not wanting to have to, not knowing how to sew or make a good costume. It'd be a throw together.
You're too lazy to learn.
No, not to learn in general, just to learn that. All right.
That was the implication of me saying to learn, you know, that you were too lazy to learn how to sew.
Yeah, because I'd rather learn things that I'll use in the future. All right, so...
sure, sewing can be used quite frequently. If you tear your pants or something, you can easily fix it. I've done it myself.
Or I just...
I, in fact, self-taught myself to sew.
Fucking big easy, Rich. Doing a list is disabled passions dating next. Douche. So anyway, this guy is making a list of 5 reasons why you should cosplay before you die. The first one, these aren't in any numerical order.
Chicks dig it. If you dress up like Dante, even if you're a fat guy, the fact that you're shirtless and you have white hair makes them want to jump in your pants.
That wasn't even the first one. I'm going to say that one now. Be a superhero for a day. Ever since you were a kid, the second a blanket finds itself draped from your shoulders, it's practically reflex to outstretch your arms in front of you with fists clenched while making a whoosh noise with your mouth.
Whoosh!
Being in costume activates the imagination center of your brain so that you can't help but channel your favorite hero or villain, whether they be Superman, Loki, or the Shadow. That's not a dated reference at all.
Whoa. You don't get to shit on the Shadow.
I'm
Fuck
not
you,
shitting
fuck.
On the Shadow, but how many IGN readers are reading this?
Hey, I like the Shadow.
I'm not saying anything bad about the Shadow.
I have listened to the old radio shows. I have read some of the comics. And I have watched the movie. And I kind of like the movie.
I'm not saying anything bad
about the Shadow. Shut your whore mouth, sir. Shut your radio slut mouth.
No, I will not shut my mouth. I'm going to get to my point, which is I was not bashing the Shadow.
You have a point?
I was just saying that, let's face it, what's the percentage of IGN readers who are mostly young hipsters who know what the fuck the Shadow is? That's what I'm saying.
Hipsters, they're going to know because they're going to be able to say, well, I like this comic. It's like, you know, from the 30s. It was a radio broadcast thing as well.
No, they won't. It's not dark enough. So, to them, to their standards, not grimy enough.
Fuck your couch, sir.
All right, relax. We're going to go through this article now. It's hard to have the bat cowl on and not don a serious expression. To wear that signature purple coat without feeling the need to act a little crazy. Dressing up as a comic book character at a convention allows you to break loose and have fun, pure and simple. Or interviewing people who are celebrities at comic conventions also will do that.
Or hit on Lay It Down.
Well, that too. But, I mean, who wouldn't? Let's face it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Anyway.
Did you see her Vine posts?
All of them? Yes. Anyway.
Yes! You saw the most recent ones?
More than likely. But anyway, going back to
the one where she's sucking off a dude?
No, didn't see that one. But anyway.
There's
a great deal of wish fulfillment that comes with cosplaying. As you flip through a comic book style...
After making a blowjob joke, we said come. Okay, I'm going to stop. I really don't know. I don't know what the fuck is up with me tonight. Jesus Christ.
Stop eating sugar.
I don't even know if it's a sugar. I don't know what's going on with me, dude.
You're hyper. Relax.
I don't know why.
Relax about 5 steps. Calm down.
Hold on.
Step off the ledge. It'll be fine.
I don't fucking know what's going on with me. Let me just stop. Like, this is weird. I know everyone's probably thinking, like, what the fuck? Cornex is doing weird shit. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm just having a moment of clarity right now where I'm saying I'm acting like a fucking retard. Oh, Jesus. All right. I think I'm just having way too much fun. Let's go.
Okay, as you flip through a comic book looking at Bruce Wayne's Batsuit or Tony Stark's Iron Man armor, there's always the thought of how cool it would be to wear it yourself. With cosplay, you can. You can get to be a superhero or a supervillain for a day. Every comic fan owes it to themselves to at least once indulge in the fantasy of being a costume crusader. Thoughts?
Who would you want to be?
Shit, man.
Who?
I would want to be Deadpool.
You know who I'd want to be?
Who?
If I could pull it off, I would want to be Spawn.
You mean Warren Spawn, former pitcher of the Braves?
No, no. Fuck you. Spawn. Don't even try to make a joke or make into a sports reference. Spawn.
Al Simmons only, though, not the other one.
Well, fucking, yeah.
All right. So next one, next reason, celebrity treatment.
You act like I've even read the newer ones.
All right, good point. But anyway, next one is celebrity treatment. When caught, which is kind of true, when caught, but mostly if you're female or have a really good costume. When cosplaying at a convention for the first time, it's easy to see why so many people do it. About every 10 steps you take, you will be stopped and asked for a picture. Before, you were an ordinary citizen who didn't get a second glance when walking through a crowd, but now you're a nerd magnet. Everyone from kids who won't get a kick out of your Spider-Man suit to adults who have always wanted to stand side by side with Green Lantern will be approaching you for a quick snap. Or perverts who want to look down the shirt of a Poison Ivy. Anyway.
Is that actually in the article?
No, I just added that.
Okay.
Because it's true.
But it's just the way you said it, it sounded like your reading voice.
That was the point.
Okay, I'm just, jeez.
That was the point. But anyway. Yeah. And there's a group of group pictures. If you're dressed as Oracle and there's a Black Canary and Huntress also in attendance at the con, you can bet that not only will you cross paths, but you will be asked to stand together for a team shot. When one person stops to take a picture, others can't help but take notice, which causes a chain reaction in the crowd until there are dozens of flashes blinding your eyes. Then when Lady Shiva, Hawkgirl, and Poison Ivy join in on the Birds of Prey reunion, you can bet you're not going anywhere for a while.
And then someone's going to make a fan fiction out of it.
Yes. But as fun as it is to feel a little special for the day, it truly is about making people happy. Fans are there because they love comics, so getting to see Thor and Loki in the flesh is beyond awesome. You are helping make their dreams of meeting their favorite characters become a reality. That is way too pretentious. High fives and fist bumps are as common as smiles and cheers when they cosplayers around.
You know who I'm impressed by?
Who?
Cosplayers who go as Optimus Prime and can figure out a way to make it transform.
Yeah, I agree. That one's a really good one. Yeah. Next one, costume contests. Now, don't get me wrong. Costume contests aren't on this list because winning a prize for your efforts is a reason to cosplay. Costume contests are the Super Bowl of cosplaying. Are you fucking serious? Anyway.
They're the Puppy Bowl of cosplaying.
It's your time to shine in front of a large, enthusiastic crowd. A lot of people have anxiety about being in front of crowds, but getting up there decked out in your Deadpool gear can be an exhilarating experience. Besides, if you trip and fall while walking on the catwalk, it's no biggie because you're wearing a mask. And if you're Psylocke that day, then just turn it into an impromptu ninja somersault. See what he did there?
The Deadpool thing is making me think. I wish you had, cosplayed before you started losing weight. You want to know why?
Why?
Because there would be something hilarious about a rather large Deadpool.
Yeah, but I have a belief of not cosplaying as people if you're too big or small to play the role.
But it'd be funny.
I'm just saying. Personal belief. Entering a costume contest is not about a winning, although if you win, congrats. It's about working towards something. It's not unheard of for cosplayers to take up new exercise regimens and workout diets to get ready for their costume season when cons start happening more frequently. They want to look their best for the big day. So in a roundabout way, cosplay can act as motivation to get healthy, working to get into respectable shape, while also getting to have six metal claws and call people bub for a day. Because
start cosplaying.
What's not to love? Because yeah,
with DDP yoga.
All right. Well, exactly. But still, because there's no such thing as too many Hugh Jackman Wolverines, apparently.
Well, there isn't.
There's way too many at conventions.
Hey! Watch your mouth.
There is way too many Hugh.
Watch your mouth, bub.
No. I will boot you from the car. Cornex, settle the fuck down.
I'm trying.
Making this shit overmodulate. Jesus Christ. Anyway, next one. Build your own costume.
What the fuck is wrong with me?
Yeah, whatever.
I need some whiskey.
No, you don't need whiskey. That's all. That's the one thing you don't need at this point is whiskey.
Whiskey isn't depressing.
Listen, P-Rock.
I'll take it with some Quaaludes, you know?
No, all right?
I'll be down.
Because then if you take Quaaludes and beer and have a heart attack, then...
Who drinks fucking beer with Quaaludes? I said whiskey.
Whiskey. All right, whiskey. All right, worse. Then if you have a heart attack, then it's just me after 1 o'clock.
Then the doctors have to remove a layer of fat to get to my heart, and thus I'll lose some weight.
You'll be dead.
Well, yeah, but then I'll excrete feces from... Okay, I'm not even going to go there. Let's stop it. The joke
was
dead.
Let's stop
the joke
there.
Was dead as soon as I stumbled over trying to say feces.
Cornax posting a very gay...
Whoa! That's Red Sox!
I said Red Sox.
No, you said Cornax.
No, I said Red Sox.
No, you said Cornax.
Red Sox posted.
You quite clearly said Cornax.
Yeah, but let's face it. It wouldn't be surprising you posting that to be just...
Well, fuck you, sir.
I'm saying, just to either troll...
Fuck you, sir.
Just to either troll...
Fuck you, sir.
Cornax.
Fuck you, sir.
Relax.
In the mouth.
Chill, motherfucker. Chill.
In the mouth.
See, guys, this is the point where we stretch out a bit to get to 2 o'clock. Just saying.
You're stretching. I'm just, you know.
Next one is build your own costume. I guess that, for a lot of people that's fun. I don't know. For me, again, if I'm going to build costumes, it's going to be to film something, not to walk around in an already comfortable condition wearing something even more uncomfortable.
All right. I'm looking at that picture of the gay Mario with the gay Luigi and the gay Bowser that Red Sox posted.
Oh,
and I'm wondering, is the implication that Mario and Luigi, despite being brothers, are also fucking?
Could be. You never know.
What do you think would be the whole, like, thing with the gay Mario universe? Like, I mean, because he wouldn't be rescuing Princess Peach for love, but then again, he's getting pretty cozy with Bowser there, so would he be rescuing Bowser from Princess Peach?
He's getting Princess Peach out of there so she doesn't horn in on his action. Anyway, next one is join a community, which I kind of agree with. All right.
Ew. Face full of Pikachu man ass.
Serves you right.
Serves me right for what?
I don't know, the last hour.
What? All right. I hate you, Falcone.
No, you don't.
I hate you in your face.
My face is awesome. Shut up.
Your face is hipsterish.
No, it's awesome. All right.
No, it's hipsterish.
Why? Because I've got a beard?
No, because you've also got weird glasses.
I don't have those glasses yet.
Uh-huh. Yet!
Yet.
Yet!
Yet. So, I didn't do my eBay story update because we got sidetracked.
Yes, you finally got your copy of Hard Boiled, which was successful.
Yes, finally got that. But I also actually have a story from the IFC Center also that I didn't tell earlier today. There's a Jean-Luc Godard movie called Alphaville, and it's out of print. You know, if you wanted to get a used, like, new copy, the minimum you would probably end up spending is $60 to get one. You know? Because that's how it goes when those movies go out of print. So what happens? I go to the IFC Center. I see a display. I see some movies in there. I wonder, hey, how much is that copy of Alphaville? Thinking they're probably going to overcharge it because it is out of print, and that's why it's still there. So I asked the guy how much it was. His response was that it was $30. Which, for those who don't know, is retail for Criterion movies that are DVD. That's retail.
You're going to IFC a lot more, aren't you?
Well, I mean, they didn't really have any other out-of-print ones there. But I do want to go there more for movie showings. That's another thing I want to point out. How amazing they are. On Friday nights, like Saturday morning, you know, no, Thursday nights going into Friday morning, like at midnight, they show like classic movies, like just well-known independent movies or just well-known movies in general. Like, for example, at midnight this past Friday, during, you know, like Thursday night into Friday, at midnight they showed Jurassic Park and Night of the Living Dead.
Nice.
On two different screens. The night before, it was Jaws and The Evil Dead.
Oh.
So I definitely need to go there more often. That's something that definitely really, really needs to happen. But yeah, getting Alphaville for $30 less than I would have had to pay for a used copy on eBay. But this one is a new copy. Yeah. And it must be something with that area because I looked at a comic shop somewhere around there. Near there. For those who don't know, the IFC Center is really close to Bleecker Street, which is where the Bitter End is, which is where the Love for Narzito benefit was. Right, Cornax?
Right.
Yeah. The one you weren't able to go to because you're a minor.
Fuck you, Falcone.
I'm just saying.
Fuck you.
Stop getting all butthurt.
Fuck you.
No.
Fuck you, sir!
No.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yes. If I keep going yes when you keep saying no and stop it, does that count as radio rape?
No.
Oh. So I'm not. Never mind. Nope. Not going to say it.
Chillax.
I hit my computer because of you. You make me do these things. Why do you make me do these things?
I don't make you do these things. You irrationally hit things. That's not my fault.
I think it's a good thing I'm single.
It's a good thing you're single. Because the second she says something you cunty online, you're going to punch your computer, aren't you?
No.
But you'll flip out.
I'm not a douche.
It's not being a douche. Just if your button, but nigga, if your buttons are pulled or pushed.
Who pulls buttons? Who the fuck pulls buttons?
Cornax, I had a long day. I'm tired. Trying.
You know, maybe we should choose a different time slot. I'm just saying.
Nope.
Well then,
it's
being tired.
It's just today. It's just the way today went. It's not like indicative of, you know. Just saying.
Yeah. So you say.
But anyway, it's just fantastic, though. I mean, going there, and I want to go. Like, I want to go there. Like I said, one Thursday night and see an awesome older movie. But like, and I kind of like a lot of those smaller movie theaters that aren't like chains. I think they're very necessary.
Well, yeah, like, actually, my local theater is, it's being preserved mostly because, you know, I think Citibank technically owns it, but it's a bit of a historical spot, which is why they're preserving it. The Lafayette Theater.
I could see that.
Actually, hold on. I do believe, yes, it does. It does have its own Wikipedia page.
Oh, snap.
And I frequently attend this place to watch my movies, and I quite enjoy it. And it's quite a lovely theater. I watch Skyfall here.
Because it's Skyfall.
Skyfall!
Freaking Royce ruined that song for me.
Why is that?
Because the way he impersonated this whole Skyfall.
Oh, Jesus. Royce just loves to take the piss out of Adele.
And everything. Like, just everything. Like, if he talks about, if he starts talking about something you like, just stop listening because he will ruin it for you.
Generally, Royce likes the things I like.
Yeah, well, still, though, he will find one subtle nuance to make fun of, and then you just keep noticing that throughout the time.
Well, not really. I mean, I tend not to.
Trust me, it just hasn't happened to you yet. It will. And then you'll say, Falcone, you were right.
I'll say, fuck you, Falcone, because I'll keep on thinking about it when I'm listening to Royce. And then I'll actually notice it and pay attention to it, and it'll have been your fault.
I just plant seeds in the mind. What you do with it is your choice. So, I did want to wrap this up mercifully.
Oh, mercy. Mercy. Since when have we known mercy?
My show.
My show.
Before I get to the next topic, though, I want to point out how hilarious it was, Drunk Greenway on Markout Radio this past Wednesday.
My show.
Let's just say Drunk Greenway may have given out Hooter's number, saying that if they're mad at something Greenway said, to call that number and ask for Hooter.
Oh, Jesus.
Drunk Greenway rules. But anyway.
Drunk Greenway is just, I don't. Oh, boy.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. But we, I'm sorry. Anyway,
where did that come from?
You said Fandango.
No, because I went Scaramouche, Scaramouche, where you do the Fandango.
Yeah,
Thunderbolts and Lightning. So instead of going Thunderbolts and Lightning, very, very frightening to me, you go da 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 da, you uncultured lout.
No, I wasn't being uncultured. I was just doing a little play on words. You said it said Fandango at the end. So
Fandango! Let the A's breathe, bitch! Yeah, now you regret bringing it up, don't you? You're also, right now is the moment where you're regretting asking me to join the show.
No, I'm not regretting that.
Yes, you are. Stop lying.
I do want to finish the last story. That is not as much a story. And Red Sox is clearly lying. He says he didn't notice Greenway was drunk. But anyway.
Well, let's be honest. You don't notice it because Greenway generally acts like that a lot.
Well, yeah. I mean. So anyway. In The Walking Dead, there's been a lot of talk about the new villain, Negan. He's been around since about issue 100. And now they're doing an all-out war story arc. And I beg the question for listeners. I'm not going to look for answers in chat. I'm going to wait for answers for people who actually listen to the show, however many that may be. But actually, people in chat, if you want to also answer, you can. But anyway. Now, for those who don't remember, Negan is hailed as one of the best villains in the series since The Governor. Makes me wonder. Do you think Negan has surpassed the governor?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. You know what's really gonna piss a lot of people off?
What's
that? I don't watch or read The Walking Dead.
Why is that gonna piss a lot of people off?
Because I know the people we talk to.
Good point. So anyway,
and I know the people who listen, and I know the animals who also do shows on this station.
And I know, and I know, and I know.
Yes, let's be honest here. Let's take a moment to just point this out. While we are all nice people behind the scenes, let's be honest. Out in public, we are all scumbags. Let's just be honest here.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, even I'm trying to pull it back a bit, but, you know, I can't really rein it in that much, apparently.
You can't rein it in at all.
Wow. Thanks.
Oh, relax. Anyway.
Fuck you.
So, there's been a, you know, like, it's made me wonder, especially reading the most recent issues. I think Negan has surpassed the governor as far as being a quality villain. I'm sure some people will disagree, but I think just the scope of things, the things he's done. The governor killed Tyrese, which sucked. But Negan killed fucking Glenn. Destroyed the one couple that represented hope in the comic. He did that. That was him. He also is going to have more of a lasting impact, I think. And not just that, but just the brutality of his methods. He's brutal like the governor, but he's well thought out. And he's much smarter. He's not a one-eyed hillbilly who's just raping Michonne over, you know, while she's tied up. Like a fucking soloplex machine. Cornax won't comment because he doesn't know anything about The Walking Dead.
What?
See? Exactly.
No, because you kind of mumbled that, so I didn't hear that. I heard something. Cornax won't something because of The Walking Dead. Speak up.
I said Cornax won't say anything because Cornax does not know about The Walking Dead.
You're right. I don't. But also, you know, I found it a very interesting way to talk about. Yeah, never mind.
Relax, buddy. Relax. Just saying.
I am relaxed.
Get more relaxed. Get more relaxed. Duralast. What was that?
That was me snapping at you.
You're used to snapping. Mm-hmm. But, oh, look at the time. It's 1:58. But again, though, you know, hit us up. Hit me or Cornax or Ariel up on Twitter.
Say her?
Hold on. To answer the question of whether you think Negan is a better bad guy than the governor, or if the governor is still the king of the bad guys in The Walking Dead. So send that tweet to @CMPunchy.
Only @CMPunchy.
@CornaxMLR, especially @CornaxMLR.
Fuck you, Seth.
Or @NerdHourAriel, all on Twitter.
Especially @CMPunchy.
And don't even tell Ariel and Cornax what you're answering. Just say yes or no. Just fucking.
And then send all of your dick pics to Punchy.
Send
all of them.
None of them.
Don't send any of them to me or Ariel because, you know, what are we going to do with them? But Punchy loves himself some dick pics. You should have seen him slobbering when Coletta was in Amy's studio.
No. The reason I'm saying
that. Have fun, bitch. Have fun. Have fun with your cocks.
Get your cocks out. Get your socks on. But anyway, you know, Nerd Hour Ariel @CMPunchy @CornaxMLR. And if Cornax could stop farting, that would be fantastic. But, again, we are the collective known as the Nerd Hour, here to bring you things in pop culture, entertainment, and nerdy things.
Toot!
Listen to the fine programs in MLR. I am getting way too sleepy to even say all of them. So I'll just leave you with this.
Come socks!